Hi, can I speak with the duty agent, please?
This is the duty agent. How can I help you?
Hi, my name's Adam Berkey, and I'm calling because on the Department of Justice's website, they say that to report criminal activity by public officials to call your local public FBI office, or your local FBI office.
Can I transfer you to my desk line really quick?
No problem.
I have you on the reception line.
Fantastic. No problem.
Give me 1 second, and then I will speak with you.
Okay, thanks.
FBI, Adam?
Yes.
All right, perfect. Can I just spell your last name for me, please?
It's B like boy, E-R-E-K-I.
E-K-I. Your first name's Adam, A-D-A-M?
Correct.
Okay. So you said you had information regarding local public officials?
Yes. Just so you know, where I'm coming from, I'm a retired cop from Huntington Beach, and I worked major fraud and forgery. So I have a little bit of experience, if you will.
Understood.
What I'm going to share with you, in my estimation, may seem like a civil matter, but it was a civil matter that became criminal, if that makes sense.
It does.
So what happened was, after I got retired from law enforcement, I got into construction business, and I was working for a wealthy family and was doing very high-end, like custom design and building for their commercial and residential spaces. I got a license, a contractor's license. Actually, I went and took the test and passed all the exams and all of that, and became what's called in the construction law, qualifying individual. And I did that for my construction company that was called Spartan Construction.
S-P-A-R-T-A-N?
Yes. And long story short, what happened was this turned into a huge remodel project. I was hired by them to do this huge remodel project in Newport Beach. The house was 60 years old. It had not been built in a time when there was a lot of codes. There was a previous owner who had sabotaged a lot of the structural elements of the building. The project basically went way beyond cost and time estimates. There were a lot of issues that came up with the building department at the city, and they didn't pay their final bill, which was about $100,000. So I tried to negotiate with them and even reduced what was owed down to about $20,000. They still wouldn't pay. So I hired a lawyer and we went to court. This was in 2017. When we got to court, they claimed that they never contracted with my company and that they contracted with me, and that because I wasn't licensed, that I had to give them a full refund. Well, that is actually how it works under California law, and that's what I'm actually calling about. So I'm just going to use round numbers for the sake of conversation. But basically, these people got a $1 million house, and now the court is saying that I have to refund them $1 million on top of that.
Okay.
So my beef is that this law is highly unconstitutional and unlawful, and now what they've done is they've placed a lien on a house that's in my name. It doesn't belong to me, but I'm the legal title holder, and they're trying to take $1 million from me against a wholly something that's entirely, it's theft, because they were already given that money back. The statute is Business and Professions Code, Section 7031, Subdivision B. And what it says is that basically if you do work as an unlicensed contractor, the homeowner is allowed to receive, to recover all of the compensation paid. So let's say you hire an unlicensed contractor, you pay the guy to build a $1 million house for you. He builds the $1 million house for you. There's no problem. But then you go to court and say, hey, judge, I found out this guy was unlicensed. I want $1 million back. And the judge says, oh, okay. Well, here you go. Here's another $1 million. And so when I went to the appeals process after my trial, I said to the judges, I said, wait a minute, you have to allow what they call in civil law offsets for the value of materials and services that were provided. So let's say this family gave me the $1 million and then I went out and bought $1 million in wood and drywall and roofing shingles and all of that, and I hired all the people to do it. I've literally already returned their $1 million to them.
Right.
And so now the court is saying, no, you owe them another $1 million. Okay, so I'm saying even if that's true, that means that that's a fine to me because I've already given them. It's not something in civil law that's called remedial, like where if I run into your car and cause $10,000 in damage, if I give you the $10,000 to fix your car, that's remedying the situation. But if the court says to me, oh no, you have to give this FBI agent $20,000, well, obviously 10 of that is to repair your damages and $10,000 is for punishment or for right. some other means. So these people went to court and there was no, there's, the law doesn't require them to present any evidence of any damage. So it's no different than if, let's say I got popped, I got pulled over by some traffic cop for driving without a license and the fine was $1 million. Now, no one in their right mind would believe that that's legitimate. But yet this is something California has been doing for nearly 70 years, actually more than that. And the courts completely uphold it. And so what they're doing is they're forcing, I don't know how many people now, into bankruptcy, and they're literally confiscating all of their property, stealing it. And there's no, it is totally, utterly unconstitutional. So just to give you what I'm sharing when I say unconstitutional, in California law, there's Article 1, Section 17 of the Constitution. It's the excessive fines clause. And what it basically says is it says you can't be excessively fined. And so there's some criteria, there's some tests that they have developed. And one of them is the fine has to be proportional to the offense. So what they do is they say, okay, well, what are the fines in neighboring jurisdictions? And what are the fines for similar offenses of that nature? So like if we just go in California and we say, okay, what's the fine for the first time offense for driving without a license? Well, it's $250. It's not $1 million. And surrender your house and all your life savings.
Right.
So if you go to the criminal punishment for contracting without a license, that's statute 7028, the maximum financial penalty is $5,000. So how they're getting $1 million and they're doing this to people over and over again is absolutely insane. So I've gone through the civil process. I've gone to the appeal court. I've gone to the California Supreme Court. I've gone to the United States Supreme Court. The California Supreme Court and the United States Supreme Court, they don't have to take your case. So when they deny your case with thousands of other cases, the judgment of the highest court, which in my case would be the appellate court, stands. So I've tried, I've called the FBI before, and the guy, whoever I spoke with, the call taker, hung up on me and told me that they don't accept complaints like this. I tried calling Santa Ana PD, which is the city where this happened, and they don't want anything to do with it. I've made complaints with the Judicial Council of California. They've not taken any investigation into it. People have gone to the legislature and made complaints with the legislature. They're not doing anything about it. And this was years ago that some of these complaints have made that I have records of. I made a recent complaint to the legislature and asked that they make a criminal complaint about it as well. And they won't even talk to me. They will not respond to my messages anymore. I sent an email or have sent multiple letters to the United States Department of Justice. They won't do anything about it and have not even responded to my letters. So the last thing that I did was I brought a case in federal court and I said, you need to look at this because this is not getting out of California and what they're doing is majorly corrupt shit. And the judge threw my case out and she said, well, you've already had your chance in state court and we can't do anything about it in federal court. And that's another lie, because that's not true. They can. So what's going on here is that, I mean, I'm starting to experience a lot of anxiety and panic attacks, and these people potentially could take my whole life savings and earnings and everything, and this is criminal shit. I mean, anybody who you talk to on the street says $1 million for no life. I mean, come on. Sorry, but I want to just go back to one point that I mentioned about the excessive fines clause and the criteria that the court has to use. One of the criteria is that they have to take into account your ability to pay, where they never did that. They never assessed the proportionality of the fine to what I did, if I even did it, which I didn't. And they have to make it proportional. And if you read a lot of even federal law and state law, they say the purpose is to deter the action, not to financially destroy somebody. Well, what they're doing is financially destroying me. And I'm going to all of these state and federal resources that are supposed to be here to help, and no one's helping. And it's astonishing. And so I'm reaching out to you guys again for help. I know it's a strange situation, but I guess I'll stop there and see what insight you might have.
Yep. So, a couple of questions for you. When did you retire from HBPD?
2008.
Okay. How long were you with HBPD?
About 10 years.
Okay. Sworn law enforcement prior?
I'm sorry?
Were you sworn law enforcement prior to your time at HBPD?
Or no.
The department you served with?
No, yeah, I served with them. I was basically let go on a medical because of, okay. Yeah, whatever.
You figured what my next question was going to be. Why did you resign, right?
I didn't resign. I medicaled.
You're medically retired?
Yeah. And the okay. medical was because I'm bisexual and they harassed the shit out of me.
Okay.
So before going to court, they settled with the medical retirement, and basically I get a full police pension. So
Okay. Now, you said that you had sued, so a couple of things I need to ask you. What was the lawyer that you used when you sued? What was his or her name?
I believe I don't remember the name of who filed the lawsuit.
Do you remember the case number?
I don't. I can look it up for you while we're talking.
Yep, go ahead and look that up. I'll just wait for you.
Okay.
And we'll go through this.
Okay. It's going to take me a bit to fire up my computer. It's an Orange County case, I can tell you that. Orange County civil case.
Okay.
And it was out of the Central Justice Center. It's cool. If you don't mind, it's only going to take me about 1 minute at most. Do you have any other questions you can ask me? Because I can multitask.
largely, what I need to do is I need to look at the case before I would have any logical questions that I would be able to ask you.
Okay.
Everything else would be speculative on my part. Does that make sense?
I'm just curious here because you're asking about my law enforcement case and not the other case that I'm calling.
I'm asking about your Spartan Construction lawsuit, not about your Huntington Beach.
Oh, yeah. I can give you the case number and I can do all that for you. Absolutely.
That's what I need. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Unless you have a complaint about HBD PD department. No, I didn't want to. That's not what I'm interested in. I'm interested in the case concerning Spartan Construction.
Okay.
The unlicensed contractor.
Okay.
Section 7031.
Yeah, no problem. In fact, I have a large number, well, not a large number. I have an abbreviated thing of documents that I can email you if that would make it easy, so I can get you all this stuff so you can look at it.
Best thing would be lawyer's name, case number. That would be the best two things for me.
Okay. So, the lawyer's name is going to be Russo, R-U-S-S-O, and uh-huh. Duckworth, D-U-C-K-W-O-R-T-H.
Uh-huh.
And the case number is 30-2015-00805807.
All right, let me just make sure I have that right. So that's 30-2015.
Right.
-00805807.
Yes.
Okay.
And you have business and professions code 7031 subdivision B. Yes.
Dealing specifically with disgorging an unlicensed contractor.
Yes. Okay. So you see that you saw the word disgorgement. That's another little clue that I can give you about something. In my research, they use that name in the case. They use that legal buzzword, disgorgement. They use it in the complaint. The judge used it in his minute order that he filed at trial. And the appellate court used it repeatedly throughout their opinion. Do you have access to appellate records? I can give you that case number too if you want.
Sure.
Okay, it's G-055-075. Right. And this case name might be called Humphreys v. Berkey or Berkey. Okay. So as I began to research what was going on here because of this atrocious judgment, what I discovered was there's, I think it's how it's done is a group of judges have gotten together and they write something called restatement. It's a restatement of the law. And it's very popular in both civil and criminal contexts. The Supreme Court refers to it all the time. But there's a section in there called Restatement Section 51. It's of the laws of unjust enrichment and restitution. And it defines what disgorgement is. And it says how a disgorgement action is supposed to work. So really quickly, if a guy robs a bank and he's unjustly enriched $20,000 by the robbery, he has to make restitution to the bank or disgorge. Disgorge means to give up the amount that he was enriched, meaning the 20 grand. If the court, however, orders him to pay back 40 grand, well, now he's been ordered to disgorge 20, but he's been penalized 20. You with me?
Yep.
Okay. So a disgorgement action in civil unlicensed cases only applies to profits. So if I go, you're with me? Okay, so if that were the case, then in my case, in the trial court, in Superior Court, there should have been a hearing to determine what my profits were on the construction job. Well, that never happened. There was never any evidence presented that I even made $1. The evidence that they presented was that they paid me $848,000. And the judge said, okay, give it all back to them. And my company, Spartan, had filed a claim for about $82,000 in unpaid material and labor. And the judge said, I'm denying them from paying that to you. So ultimately, the judge found that they said I was the unlicensed contractor. And that because I was unlicensed, I was not entitled to any of that money, which has resulted in basically a forfeiture of $930,000.
Okay.
So they use the word disgorgement, but they don't actually look at what your profits are. They make you, what they subject you to is an in personam forfeiture, which is only to be done in criminal proceedings. And in these civil trials, there's no right to counsel. They don't tell you about any of this. And so when I went to the appeal court, I said, wait a minute, guys, time out. Even if I did contract with them and I wasn't supposed to, first off, I was qualified by the state. Second off, the judge had to take into account the amount of profits that I had. And the way that he would do that would be to account for the amount of labor and materials that I put into the project. And they said, nope, that's not what disgorgement is. And then they cited two federal SEC disgorgement cases. And neither of those cases have anything to do with what they did. those cases say that you have to allow for profit. So there's no evidence in my case that I profited even a dollar. And literally, like I said, I've gone to all of these courts, and this has been California's MO for, well, the 7031B statute was enacted in 2001, and the 7031A statute, which is the one where I have to forfeit any money that I mean, I can't sue them for it. That was enacted all the way back in 1939. So yeah, that's where I'm at.
Okay. So, Adam, when you were with HBP, did you work with the FBI at all?
Secret Service, so no.
Okay. So, a little bit about how we work is I can tell you, I'm going to write this up, but I'm not going to know where it's going to go after that. Okay? I'm just being completely straightforward with you.
Cool.
I don't want to change expectations or set something I can't do.
Cool.
Once it's out of my hands, I won't know. I don't know if anybody else here necessarily will know immediately. But I will write it up. I'm going to need a little bit more information from you.
Okay.
Like, current address?
818 Spirit, like Holy Spirit. And it's not Drive or anything. It's just Spirit.
Okay.
And that's Costa Mesa?
Costa Mesa.
92626.
2626. Phone number?
949.
6693 number, the best number to contact you at?
Yes.
Is that your cell phone?
Yes. Well, I told the guy, the call taker, I don't know if he was an agent or not. I told him basically the same story I told you. And he said to me, the FBI doesn't do that. And basically, if you stay on the line with me any longer or something that, or ask me another question, I'm going to hang up on you. So I went to ask him another question and he hung up on me. Yeah.
Well, I apologize for that.
Sure. 6/18/79.
Okay. So, I'll take this up. When it comes to law and case law and everything else, I am not sure what we are going to be able to do. I'm being honest with you. I don't know. So, I'll write it up and it'll get routed to where it needs to go.
Okay. Do you have, could I have your last name or is there a case number that you have or anything?
I do not have a case number with us. And it's policy for us not to give out our individual names, especially with everything going on right now over the last week or so.
Okay.
For officer safety.
Okay.
But if you need to call back, you can just say that you called in on this day and spoke with the duty agent.
Okay. All right. So there's some way you can look up in your system that I called?
Short answer is yes.
Okay. Cool. Do you have any recommendations for any other agency that might be able to help me? Because as I realize you're uncertain about where it may go or what may happen, who I may be able to contact that can give me... As far as I'm concerned, I'm making a crime report, and so I want something done about it. And I know where you're coming from, but
here's why I won't disagree with you that you're making a crime report. Because it's gone through the court process and it's been a settled, adjudicated case law, I don't know what we can or cannot do with that other than look at it esoterically in terms of your specific case.
I totally get where you're coming from. I totally get it.
We are, as you know, law enforcement, federal law enforcement specifically, is executive branch. We are not legislative. We are not judicial. We do not adjudicate the law, nor do we create the law. We merely enforce the law as it is.
Correct.
And violations of the law.
Correct.
So given this, what will end up having to happen is if anybody is able to do anything with this from our side or anything that they can do, the first thing you're going to do is talk to your attorneys and look at the case file. That's the first thing anybody would do.
Okay, that law firm is no longer representing me, just so you know. No one is representing me right now. I, Well, the other aspect of part of the punishment that's been here that I'd like you to add is that they suspended my license. So I cannot work to afford an attorney, and I can't even work in my profession now.
Okay, hold on a second now. You were unlicensed when you did the work, but you're licensed now?
No. Okay. When I got the license, I became a qualifying individual for a contractor's license. And that license was held in my name and in the company's name, Spartan's name. But under the licensing law, they don't consider me licensed. They only considered the company licensed. So that's why when I went to court, they said I was unlicensed. Does that make sense?
Yes. So Spartan Construction itself was licensed, but you were unlicensed.
Correct. And they said they contracted with me and not Spartan.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Based on, did you have signed contracts?
I did, but some of the things that they used as evidence were just emails between me and them without my company name and logo on it. And so that was some of the evidence they relied upon. Yes.
Yeah, okay. Now it's starting to make sense. Oh, boy. Okay.
Yes.
I can't. Okay.
So even if this case has been adjudicated, even if I'm a so-called unlicensed contractor, I know that I hear you when you say you're executive branch and you deal with the law and you're not judicial. But here's the thing. The highest law of our land, as you well know, says that excessive fines shall not be imposed. So I get where you're coming from, that you can't do that. You can't adjudicate cases and all of that stuff. But here, it's the law literally says that judges cannot do this, and they're doing it. And they're not just doing it to me. Five people I've spoken to, there's another person that's calling me in desperation because he's going before the court in one of these actions and his lawyer's not doing anything about it. And I've also called the court to try to find out if their system can research how many of these cases actually exist. But they don't even have a system where you can type in the cause of action to find out how much of this has actually been done. And this is statewide. So I hear you totally. This case has been adjudicated. We can't interfere with the court stuff. But now, wait a minute. If the law says that judges can't steal and judges are stealing, that's a problem. And they're doing it, and it's not even a legitimate process. Even if you tried to call it disgorgement, you have to go after profits. If it's not disgorgement, it's a fine, and it says it has to be reasonable. They can't take your house and your car and everything you own. So I hear you, but there's a problem. So, and anybody that tries to do anything about this gets shut down in the court. There's no one. The legislature is not helping. The local police department is not helping. The federal court is not helping. The procedure that's there with the Judicial Council of California, they're not doing an investigation. Somebody has to step up and do something. And it just can't, that's why I asked you again for help, because it just can't be something that kind of goes, already adjudicated. Technically speaking, in law, it hasn't been adjudicated because the court was never had authority to issue a fine like this. It's unconstitutional.
I'm in a position where I will neither agree nor disagree with you. That is not my role here.
I totally understand. I'm you're being so patient and listening so intently, and it feels to me like you understand very much what I'm saying. So, at this point, it's out of my hands, but I appreciate your patience. And anyways. In answer to my last question, is there anyone else that you could refer me to?
I am going to preface this by saying, by no means are you to construe this as legal advice, and I don't want you to take offense to this.
Got it.
Your best option, yes, first off, for the FBI, just in general, for our investigations, they take a substantial amount of time. That's how they work. And I'm not saying that this will be investigated or won't be investigated. You're getting a lot of qualifiers from me, but I have to do that, okay?
Got it.
Policy. So,
numerous individuals that are affected by this that want to move forward is to maybe think about finding an attorney for a class action type of issue. I know that's going to sound really annoying to you, probably because of the financial situation you find yourself in as a result of this, but that may be your fastest recourse mechanism if there are other individuals who can find a way to do that. You asked if there was anyone else I could refer you to. That would be my best non-legal recommendation.
I hear where you're coming from. I'm pursuing those avenues, but I'm actually looking for someone within a government agency that can stop the unlawful behavior of the government.
I would not have a name or an organization to direct you to regarding this other than who you've already contacted.
Is there a number that you can give me or a contact at the US DOJ? Something like that?
There is not a number I can give you. You can call their main number. You can call the main US DOJ number. And you can just easily find them on the internet. And you can ask them if they have somebody there for the complaints or somebody you can speak with regarding this. That may be an option.
Okay. But beyond that, you and the DOJ are the only ones that could, if anything, do anything.
No, I didn't say that. I just said I don't know of anyone.
Okay. Fair. Fair. Okay.
All right, Adam.
Cool. Thank you for your help. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye. Bye.